Welcome back to our Total Sense Bite Size episodes. I'm Tom Henske, and I'm here to help parents teach their kids about money. Welcome back. Happy New Year, everybody. Today, I have Val Chapman with me. You're not going to believe this. I randomly met her. I think we randomly met at the SIFMA Foundation event in New York City. And they're doing all sorts of great things for promoting financial literacy. So you can imagine Val and I met, and it was like we were birds of a feather flocking together. Here's what I love about her. She's a former banker and investment account executive. And so she's got an education in that. But she then decided to become a fourth and fifth grade teacher in Oakland, California. And she founded this great company called Financial Literacy for Kids. It's an organization dedicated to young students and teaching them about saving, investing. Val, welcome. How are you?
Thank you for having me. Yes, I love that introduction. My background is in banking, investment management, and working with high net worth clients. So I decided to transition to a new career and decided to work with kids, fourth, fifth grade, and talk to them and teach them about financial literacy.
Okay, so I know why I left the industry to do that, but I think everyone else would love to know, what is it that inspired you to make this colossal shift? Because it's a really big shift, right?
Yeah, it is. I noticed that, there are people that during the course of my career, I noticed that there were lots of folks that didn't really understand finance and investing. And I realized that starts at an early age, that, ability to grasp those concepts really starts when you're young. And I had an advantage because my mother, believe it or not, worked for a bank in New York. And, so all through my childhood, I had a role model. I had someone that was there that could influence my money-making habits. She worked for a bank, Chemical Bank. They acquired J.P. Morgan Chase. So she started with Chemical and ended her career with J.P. Morgan. So that's how I became interested. And then I really realized that I needed to share that information with younger students.
So, from my personality, I love to just jump right into the meat of things. So this is usually the question people would leave for the end. I'm going to put it at the front. So when you think of what you believe to be the three key financial literacy concepts that you think are crucial for kids to learn about, I want to hear what those are. And then how do you recommend introducing them at these age-appropriate ages?
Well, the first thing that I recommend is that you start with a basic concept, saving. The way that we handle it here in Oakland is when we're talking to the kids, we take a deep dive into needs and wants. We start there. We try to separate what do you really need from what you really want, and then you can begin that conversation about saving. So that's the first concept. After that, we move on to delayed gratification. I mean, that's all part of needs and wants, obviously. And that's a key component in whether or not you're capable or able to save. The third concept is, once you've managed those two hurdles, is investing. We talk to the kids about short-term, long-term investing and how you can grow your money over time. And I use we met in New York at the SIFMA Foundation, gala, but we use the stock market game as our platform to teach the students, 9 and 10-year-olds, about investing.
So is this real money they're investing? Hypothetical investing? Tell us about it.
Well, it's all virtual. I wish it were real, but it isn't. It's virtual investing, and they manage a portfolio of $100,000, and they have to invest across three asset classes, equities, debt, and funds. So it gives them a broad perspective on the different investment vehicles. And, it's amazing. It takes a little bit of time because, like I said, they're only 9 and 10. But, once they get the habit of allocating their resources, it's really very simple, a very easy to use platform, user-friendly.
Well, it's interesting because you probably have your own opinions. And one of the things I was talking to you about when we were talking earlier was about kind of not interjecting your opinions into their choices, because then it just becomes micromanagement central, right? And they can get that at home with their parents. So, you know, the other thing that I was thinking about is this delayed gratification. I really think that's one of the hardest things to teach kids. You know, there should probably be a class. I'm not talking financial literacy. I'm talking class about delayed gratification, thinking the long term, doing all the little things today so that you can 5-10 years down the line, wake up to things. So any funny stories that when the kids were investing that you said, okay, yeah, that was great. Or that was a crash and burn.
you know, kids are amazing. And, you know, I advise them to invest in companies that they are familiar with. So, you know, we take it step by step. What are you wearing? What sort of car does your mom or dad drive? You know, what do you eat? What are your buying habits? What do those look like? What's in your refrigerator? What's on your shelves? What's in your closet? So once they go through that process, then they're able to say, okay, I'll invest in Nike because that's something they wear. They purchase things from Amazon. So that's another company that I'll find in their portfolio. So just familiar companies, consumer packaged goods, a lot of tech stocks as well. The kids here are heavy into the tech sector.
Right. So, do you remember when we were growing up, it was that Peter Lynch, invest in what you know, right? Are there ever any buckets of stocks like ETFs that they're investing in, or is it strictly individual companies?
So we try to encourage them to invest in individual companies just so that they can get the hang of it before they move on to mutual funds or ETFs. And again, tech heavy companies, even within the ETF, you know, space, it always seems to be either consumer goods or the tech sector. We really just kind of look at those two areas.
And are they doing this on their computers at school? Do they have apps? They're doing it on their phone. Is there nighttime trading going on? How invested are they?
So the trading follows a regular trading day in the New York Stock Exchange. So they're using their computers in the classroom, but they also can use the app at home or anywhere for that matter. And so that gives them access to the platform whenever. And one thing that happened, you know, you asked me about a funny story is, you know, I had a couple of students this year who, so they're matched, they're ranked against the S&P 500. Let me say that first. So I had a couple of students this year who exceeded the gains, you know, versus the S&P 500. They start out with 100,000. A couple of kids ended up over a 10-week period with $180,000.
Wow.
Quite remarkable. And I didn't really understand how they got there because, you know, I never tell them what to invest in. But I went back to their classroom teachers to find out, like, how are these kids able to reap so many gains? And their classroom teachers said to me, well, you know what they've been doing? Because I'm only with them one day per week for 10 weeks. The teacher said to me that they are coming back during recess to trade every day. And I was like, really? Because, you know, recess is a big thing to kids. They will cry if it's raining outside and they're not able to go out to the playground. But the kids were actually, they were so enthusiastic about this platform that they were coming back during recess, giving up recess to trade. So if in effect, you know, we were looking at day traders.
That's awesome. You know, we were joking about also another skill, which is developing entrepreneurial spirits in these kids. And there's no better for me than Shark Tank on TV. And we were joking back and forth about that. In fact, when we started to watch Shark Tank in our house, we did it as a family. And I remember when my daughter was really young, she would take notes as we were going along. And then what we would do is we would tape them and we'd shut it off right before they started really hammering the person so that my kids could get a feel as to here's what I'm thinking about. And then they got to hear the sharks. So when I heard you were doing Shark Tank, that was my like light bulb. I said, oh, I've got to ask Val about that. Tell me about that.
All right. So right. That's one of my favorite shows as well. I mean, I love the whole thing of starting a business and growing a business, scaling a business. And we decided to incorporate that into our programming here in Oakland. So the kids, most of my kids, not only are they investors, but they actually run their own businesses. And so we decided to, you know, give them an opportunity to talk about their businesses in front of community partners. And so they're, like I said, 10 years old, but they were like fearless in talking about their companies and how to scale them and how to, you know, diversify their product offerings. So it was a wonderful opportunity for them because it also builds confidence. So not only are they entrepreneurs, but they're also able to talk about their businesses to adults.
Okay. So let's talk about talking to adults. That's hard. And there are some challenges for sure that for parents, right? So I'm a parent, I get it. It's not always easy to kind of teach your kids about anything, forget about money. So in your mind, since you've been around the block and seen a lot of this, what are the most common challenges that you think parents are facing when they're teaching their own kids about money?
There's so much information available now. And I think because of that, it could be a little bit overwhelming for parents, but I would say I would just start with some basic concepts like saving. You know, you can just, you know, I have some props here. You can just get a mason jar and, you know, give this to your child and say, hey, let's start saving. And maybe even perhaps matching the amount that they save. That's always a good way to, you know, get someone excited. The other thing, and I love piggy banks. So here's another prop. Give your child a piggy bank. I chose this one. I give this one to the students because once you put the money in, you can't get it out. There are no other openings.
We need that in my house. I hope my wife isn't listening because I'm going to get one of those for her and I'm going to take my paycheck. I'm going to put it in there and then she can't get it out.
So it's really cool because the kids are, it's sort of like forced savings. And the only way to open this is with a sledgehammer. So I remind the students, you know, once you put it in, try to save, you know, for as long as you can, and then you can, you know, spend some of it.
Kind of like an IRA, right? Like that you can't touch until 59 and a half. I love the sledgehammer thing. That could be a fun time too.
So I just make it a tiny bit difficult for them to access the cash, but it's theirs and it's a bank that they have at home, so they can open it at any time. But what was your other question again?
Again, you know, what I wanted you to then tie in is, you know, the financial literacy for kids. How is that helping parents overcome these normal obstacles that you're talking about to kind of help guide the kids through their financial development?
You know, I think that once they realize how easy it is to get started and then they see that their child is making progress, they're not so, you know, apprehensive about, you know, delving in and helping their child, you know, save and invest. And it's really amazing. I have parents that come approach me all the time saying, you know, what you're doing is wonderful. I wish I had learned this when I was a child. And a couple of weeks ago, a couple of interesting things happened. Students came up to me and said, hey, I opened my first savings account. I went to the bank. I opened up an account with my mom or my dad. And one student came in and showed me her debit card with her name on it. And I thought that was pretty cool. So, you know, in terms of advice to parents, if you can open up a savings account or, you know, for your child, that would be a great way to start. But also using tools at home, that's really helpful. Mason jar, piggy banks, all of that helps. You know, talking to your kids about, you know, the bills that you have to pay every month, letting them have, you know, see that you're actually, you know, spending money and how you spend money and how you decide to spend money. Those are also important.
So Val, I'm about to make fun of some of my education guru close friends, and they'll laugh at this because they'll know where I'm going with it. So everywhere you go, everyone wants to measure the effectiveness of everything, right? It's like what gets measured gets done. You've heard that saying before. Right. So a lot of times when I'm in front of schools and people, they say, well, how do you measure your program against every other program that's out there? And some of it's a little bit like, well, you really just need to believe and understand that even if you don't measure it, that something good is going to come of teaching kids about money and giving them a financial foundation. But with what you're doing, I think you can measure the effectiveness of it a little bit with what you're getting at. Is that right?
Right. So there are a couple of ways that we do that. So at the beginning of each trading season, we offer the students a pretest and at the end a post-test. So to gauge where they are in terms of their, you know, retention levels, because, you know, it's a lot of information and a lot of it is really complex. So we do that. The other thing is we look at the results of the stock market game, you know, whether or not they were successful and, you know, if there's a gain or a loss, and it's really just a teaching tool. So we're not, you know, the kids are happy about it, whether they win or lose, they're happy about it, that they were able to learn something.
So I'm going to ask you to look into your crystal ball. So what are your long-term goals for financial literacy for kids? Where do you see the effort going? And if you were to fast forward 5-10 years in the future, where do you feel like you'll be at?
My long-term goal is to make financial literacy a part of every school's curriculum, specifically in the fourth and fifth grade. The earlier you start, the better. So that's my long-term goal, to make sure that we can have this, or students have this opportunity to learn at, you know, an early age. And I would encourage parents to, if this isn't available in your school, to, you know, talk to your, you know, the principal or teachers to find out if you can make this part of the curriculum.
So if I was to say, you know, our audience are parents, right? So you can answer this from the parents' perspective or even from the kids' perspective. What's the one takeaway that you want listeners to take from our conversation today?
That would be to just to get that conversation started with your kids. You know, start the conversation, start talking about saving, investing. You know, if there's a neighborhood bank that's close by, take your son or daughter to that bank to experience what it feels like to, you know, make a transaction at the teller window. All of those things are really important, but to start the conversation early more importantly, is to invest in yourself. You know, buy books about investing, buy books about saving, budgeting, credit, and just make sure those are accessible to your kids.
Okay. That is such good advice, no matter what you're talking about. You know, in the beginning of the year, everyone gets into this health and wellness kick where we're going to go on a diet or we're going to start exercising. It's really just taking that first step and getting out of our heads the head trash that we have where, okay, I know I need to do this. I'm going to put it off. I'm going to wait for the most perfect time. No, don't do that. Just start and do something, because doing something beats doing nothing. And that's great advice that you gave. Val, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciated having you.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoy this. I can't believe it's over so quickly.
That's what we do. We're fast and furious to the point. And that's why you can listen to us in the car. You can listen to us on a walk. I'll put in the show notes how everyone can get a hold of you, but anything you want to add to?
Yeah, I do. There are one or two things I wanted to add quickly. So, you know, in terms of tools, I found that there are a couple of great platforms out there that we use. And one of them is Next Gen Personal Finance. That's a great tool for information for students, for parents, for teachers. There's just so much information there. And also another platform called Goal Setter. So if you could, you know, provide a link to those two platforms, that would be great. And if anybody would like to get a list of any of the books that I recommend, you know, please shoot me an email.
Val Chapman, taking on the world one person at a time, just making everything better for us. We should have been, you're right, we should have been doing this 20, 30, 50 years ago, but we're starting now. So better late than never. Thanks for everything that you do. I've been following you. You're doing some epic stuff, and I really appreciated having you.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
I hope you enjoyed our episode of Total Sense. A special thank you goes out to Verso Studios at the Westport Library. Tune in for our next Money Chat.